Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to iHeartRadio Communities, a public affairs special focusing on the biggest issues impacting you this week. Here's Ryan Gorman.
Thanks so much for joining us here on iHeartRadio Communities. I'm Ryan Gorman, and we have a very important conversation lined up for you. I'm joined right now by Charles Brown, National President for Paralyzed Veterans of America, and Heather Ansley, Associate Executive Director of Governmental Affairs for Paralyzed Veterans of America. You can learn more about this tremendous organization at pva.org. That's pva.org. Charles, Heather, I want to thank you both so much for taking a few minutes to come on the show. And Charles, let's start with you. Give us an overview of the work you do and how this organization came about.
Paralyzed Veterans of America was founded by the soldiers returning from World War II with injuries, the spinal cord injuries, MS and ALS. They were coming back to a nation because of the implementation and use of antibiotics, giving them a longer lifespan. Came to a nation that actually didn't know what to do with them. The hospital systems did not take care of them. There was certainly no accessibility to get them to their homes, into their jobs, or even in cars or buses. So we advocated strongly to make sure the VA provided the proper health care for our veterans. And we also started advocating for better accessibility across the nation. Of the five main areas, they started their like grassroots efforts together. And 1946 was one of our official first meetings. And since that time, we have advocated for the health care benefits that these soldiers and veterans have earned through their military service.
So about how many veterans are a part of your organization and rely on the services that your organization provides?
The numbers from spinal cord, MS, and ALS, we represent well over, I believe it's 60,000 right now that we have that we talk about. There are more out there that really don't know about us, and we're always advocating to say, hey, we're here to help you and get you the service and the benefits you richly deserve through your military service.
And over the past 75 years since the creation of Paralyzed Veterans of America, how much has this organization grown?
It's been a grassroots effort every time. We are a word-by-mouth situation. We're a good organization now. We have a much better communications program. We're doing both radio, TV. We do mailings. But the biggest part is from one veteran to another, if we find a veteran that has a spinal cord injury, has MS or ALS, we try to reach out to them. I let them know that we're here to help them and guide them through their life. Once we know that they're injured and they need assistance, we will be with them until the final day.
If you don't mind, tell us a little bit about your personal story and how you got involved with PVA.
I was injured in a diving injury in 1986. Spent 4 days in an outside hospital where I was stabilized enough where I could be transported to a VA hospital. Upon arriving at the VA hospital, a member of the chapter from Georgia came into my room and started telling me about this great organization. I am a United States Marine Corps veteran. I'm kind of stubborn, so I kind of thanked him for his glorious story about how great this organization would be and the programs that they offer. I told him that I'd be going back to the military. I didn't realize as a quadriplegic how injured I really was. After meeting with him twice, I was finally convinced to sign up with PVA. And I can promise you that initial sign up saved my life. It actually put me on a better path to live a higher quality of life. And since my injury, since 1986, some 37 years, I can promise you PVA has been there and saved my life numerous times.
I'm Ryan Gorman, joined by Charles Brown, National President for Paralyzed Veterans of America. You can learn more about all the work they do at pva.org. In those early days after you learn that you're paralyzed or you have one of the other conditions that you help veterans with, how important is it to have an organization like this to help with what must be a very overwhelming experience?
It's almost a question that's kind of hard to answer because, I mean, in my own circumstance, I had the thought that I would go back and finish my military duty. But with PVA, we've worked hard and diligently all these years to build a benefits program to help our veterans receive the benefits they've earned through the military service. We have programs that help them get accessible homes, transportation. We work through sports. We work through many other adaptive programs to get them a higher quality of life. And the importance of PVA is immeasurable, to be honest. People say, if you can't measure it, you know, what's it really worth? It's worth more than a lifetime. That's why when PVA came to my rescue, I didn't realize what it really meant to me, but I do now. And that's why I'm here giving back to this organization and to those new veterans being injured or being diagnosed with these disabilities.
And I've talked to so many different organizations helping veterans, including injured veterans, but the work you do specifically at Paralyzed Veterans of America, it's so important because the challenges that these specific veterans are going through, like yourself, they're so unique.
Very much so. And PVA will come to bedside day one. And what we can do is we can actually peer mentor them, guide them through their life, give them ideas or suggestions, and to offer them the programs that we can do, like I said, to give them a higher quality of life. There's nothing better out there. I love some of the other VSOs. They're great people. But we actually deal from the in-depth. And that's not just from the veteran side. That's from the caregiver side also. We provide programs for our caregivers to help them be able to deal with the injuries and how what it means to them and what it's going to take in their life to help their family member or their loved one.
Let me ask you about some of the different services that you provide, because one in particular stood out to me. You help with getting a home set up for a paralyzed veteran. It's one of those things that, you know, a lot of us maybe wouldn't think of, but it's so important. And you're there to step these veterans through that process, right?
Actually, we do. We actually have an in-house architecture team. And we have built some programs and some books that teach how to make a home accessible. And we offer those services free to our members. Getting accessibility to the home, getting your transportation set up, that's what our National Service Officers do. They take the hard work away from the veteran when they're going through such stressful times and trying to get through their traumatic injuries and their problems. And they actually help them complete a lot of this work before they even think about getting into their home. So when they go home, it's a smooth transition. Their front door has been made accessible. Their bathroom has been made accessible. Their kitchen's been made accessible. And that's through the process of them working with the VA and working with some of our other sponsors and vendors.
How often do you find the veterans who you work with don't have a full understanding of all the different benefits available to them? Because it certainly seems like that's a big part of the work you do at Paralyzed Veterans of America, just the awareness of what's available.
I would almost say daily, but I can promise you it's unique. I'm involved in my local community in Florida. And I get a phone call quite a few times from people saying, hey, there's a veteran in my hospital, has spinal cord injury. He's running out of insurance or there's other problems, you know, but he needs help. Can you help him? And the first thing I say is absolutely. I make the phone call down to the VA hospital to my national service officer. I give them the pertinent information. I let them contact the hospital and the social workers. We get that patient transferred into the VA healthcare system, ensuring that, you know, that they're veterans and they qualify for that. But we get them there. And the first thing they realize is that all of those worries and concerns they had before is how are they going to pay for a home modification? How are they going to pay for transportation? You know, what are they going to do for living later on in life? Those things we figure out for them and with them as they're going through their rehab process inside the VA healthcare system. We actually are the only veteran service organization that audits the VA and how they perform in their duties of care for our veterans.
I'm Ryan Gorman, joined by Charles Brown, Paralyzed Veterans of America National President. You can learn more at pva.org. So you're helping these veterans every step of the way learn about the different benefits available to them, get their homes set up, all these different services that you provide. And then when those veterans want to do more, like health and wellness activities or sports activities, things like that, you also help in that area as well. Tell us about that.
Well, we also have a program that helps veterans get back to work if they want to. Even if you have a catastrophic disability, we have a jobs program where we will actually help you get the training, the equipment, and actually the interviews to get a job and work in the field if you can, if you want to. We fund sports programs all across the nation with our local chapters and other groups when that's available. We do advocacy work where we talk with our local representatives, not just in the local communities or the states, but we also do federally. And what we're fighting for is accessibility across the nation. We're fighting for the health care across the nation. And we're fighting to make sure that the benefits they richly earned through their military services are not diminished. You're talking about a person, to be honest, that it's expensive to have to live with a spinal cord injury or with a MS or ALS. It's not like just going out and you pick up a nice Toyota for $15,000-$17,000, you know, or $20,000, whatever they are now. Now you got to worry about putting in hand controls or adaptive devices to allow that vehicle to be driven. So PVA, through our service officers working with the VA and other groups, we actually make sure that these services are done or prepared for our veterans, and so that they can, like I said, it's a higher quality of life than we would normally have.
Let's talk for a minute about the research and education component of the work you do at Paralyzed Veterans of America. What goes into that?
So we also fund grants for researchers across this nation to find a better way to make a wheelchair more accessible, climb curbs, make your life more normal, raise you to a height up in a grocery store, you reach the top shelf. We fund research grants in different areas to potentially walk again if that's a possibility, or nerve regeneration and things like that. But we also offer education programs that teach people across the nation all about spinal cord injuries or different methods of therapy and things like that. We actually have been partnered with Yale for 30 years now or more. And our work with Yale is actually through spinal cord regeneration. We're looking for a way to actually hopefully cure a spinal cord injury in the future. We've come through great strides with this organization, and working with Yale hand in hand all these years has been an incredible advancement.
All right, now let's talk about the advocacy work your organization does. And I want to start on the issue of air travel, which I know hits home. It's very personal to you. Talk about what happened to you and the work you're doing to make sure that never happens again to a paralyzed veteran or anybody else for that matter.
All right, this is a tough one for me. 2019, I was in preparation to head to California from Florida on a business trip. And I don't know if you've ever been at an airport and seen somebody in a wheelchair going down the jetway, but I have to be taken out of my wheelchair, put onto a very narrow chair, and strapped in and dragged backwards down the aisleway till I get to the seat area where I'm supposed to sit at, where I'm getting lifted out of that chair onto the seat. Well, in the process of being taken from my wheelchair to that aisle chair, the person in front of me who had been trained but never dealt with the person made a mistake. During the mistake, they made a second error and ended up dropping my legs, which actually put all my weight on the person behind me who was trying to help me lift up, and I was dropped to the driveway. It fractured my tailbone. I feel pain, but nowhere to the level that a normal person would. I knew I was injured, but I'm a stubborn Marine. I've said it before. I'm a stubborn Marine. I will fight through a lot of things. They got me back in my wheelchair. They put me back on the aisle chair. I went ahead and made the flight. One of my midpoints in the flight was in Dallas. When I arrived there and they transferred me out of the seat onto the aisle chair, I noticed there was a little blood on the seat of the chair. So I was apologetic that I guess I'm bleeding. But I went ahead and made my flight all the way into Long Beach. Upon arrival there, my caregiver took me straight to the hotel and I went to bed. And when we pulled my pants down, I not only had an injury, but I actually had a starting of a wound. Of a Marine that I am, I had a job to do. I did my job well. I worked 3 days there, and then I went back home to Florida again through the transportation process with the airline. When I got home, they weren't getting any better. I was getting sicker. Things were starting to bother me, and I went to the VA hospital. When I arrived, the first thing they did is put me into a bed, put an IV into me, and they took me straight into an MRI machine. That machine said that I had a fractured tailbone and that I had an infection, a rapid growing infection called osteomyelitis growing. It was so bad, it was already creeping up into my spinal cord. I didn't know, but had I delayed another day or two, more than likely that infection would have gotten to my heart and it would have killed me. I'm lucky that the VA was there to help me take care of me. I'm blessed by that. And that's through the fight that what PVA does.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What we fight for now at PVA is to make sure that aircraft are completely accessible so that you can stay in your wheelchair. This device has been developed for me to sit in and stay in. You can't see me. I'm a quadriplegic in a power wheelchair. And when you take me out of this wheelchair, I am basically just, I would fall everywhere without straps or somebody holding me in place. So to take me from this wheelchair and put me in a regular seat on the aircraft, it's dangerous on the transfers. It's dangerous for the personnel having to lift me.
Right.
But it's also dangerous because they take my wheelchair and they put it in the cargo hold below an aircraft. If you've flown, you've seen how damaged your luggage gets. Now think about my wheelchair being down there and being get bounced around and beaten up and broken also in those flights. What I want to fight for, what I'm going to say right now is that the Air Carriers Access Act was passed in 1986. And that said that airlines had to be wheelchair accessible. In all of those years, the same 37 years that I've been injured, the Air Carriers Access Act hasn't ensured that these flights are safe and accessible. They made things a little better, maybe, but I don't think so. You still can't go to the bathroom on the airplane. You're still stuck into a seat. You still have to be taken away from the wheelchair that is basically my legs. If an accident happens, I'm stuck in a seat until somebody can come help me get out of that seat and away from where the accident is at. So what we're fighting for is to make aircraft completely accessible. Make it so that you can stay in your wheelchair, fly like you do. If you get on the city bus, you see people in wheelchairs. They don't have to get out of their wheelchair. If you get onto a train, people can ride in their wheelchairs on trains. And I have a van that's been modified, so I stay in my wheelchair when I'm transported. So the only mode of transportation across this whole nation that is not wheelchair accessible are airlines. You have to get out of that personal piece of equipment that keeps you safe and steady.
I'm Ryan Gorman, joined by Charles Brown, National President, and Heather Ansley, Associate Executive Director of Governmental Affairs for Paralyzed Veterans of America. You can learn more at pva.org. So, Heather, let me bring you into the conversation now. Tell us about the work you're doing, the advocacy work you're doing, in particular on the air travel issue, but then more broadly on some of the other issues that your organization focuses on.
Sure. Well, certainly, as you've heard, this is an issue that impacts, not just PVA members, but really all people with disabilities, particularly those who use mobility devices. PVA has advocated for the law that the Air Carrier Access Act, provided the opportunity so at least people couldn't be just denied boarding because they had a disability. But unfortunately, the system of air travel just is not built to accommodate people with a variety of disabilities, but particularly those that use mobility devices like wheelchairs or scooters. So PVA has really, when it comes to trying to improve air travel and all of the above approach, we work with the Department of Transportation to try to strengthen the regulations, to encourage them to do more enforcement of the existing law. We work with airlines and wheelchair manufacturers, people who build airplanes, components for airplanes, to try to get them to improve their training, improve their processes, to make air travel more accessible. And then, of course, we also work with Congress to try to get laws strengthened. And we're currently working on the Air Carrier Access Amendments Act, which is something that would provide those standards that that Mr. Brown mentioned, which is that we need standards for people with disabilities on aircraft so that People who use wheelchairs are able to, board the aircraft adjacent to and have a seat adjacent to a boarding door. And whether that's transferring into the passenger seat and having their wheelchair safely stowed, or being able to fly while seated in their wheelchair. It is something that we simply have to address. And Congress has the opportunity this year as they're considering the reauthorization of the FAA. It's something that comes due in September, and Congress is actively working right now to put that legislation together. And we're calling on them to have the standards that are outlined in the Air Carrier Access Amendment Act and also the enforcement provisions. It's simply unthinkable that in 2023 that people with disabilities what is otherwise a very safe mode of transportation are being injured, are having their wheelchairs destroyed, and are to some extent simply afraid to fly, not because they're scared of air travel, but because they simply don't know if they're going to be safe in the process. So that is a big ask of ours, is that Congress would make a big statement this year and would say that it's time for airplanes to be accessible. It's time to increase enforcement, that nearly 40 years is long enough of people being injured and bruised and unable to take jobs that they may want to take simply because they're unable to access air travel. And how we try to get folks behind these issues is, like I said, we work with our PVA members. We work with stakeholders from the broader veterans community, the broader disability community, urging them to talk to their legislators, urging them to talk to the different federal agencies that work on all of the various disability access issues, whether that's air travel or access to, hotels or other opportunities that people face, just ongoing barriers, even decades after these disability laws have passed. Unfortunately, there are still so many barriers. And we use our opportunity. It's really a chance for our members, and particularly our PVA members, to continue to serve. They're continuing to serve their nation and their fellow citizens by really leading the tip of the spear in terms of fighting for that disability access that really goes back all the way to PVA's founding. And unfortunately, it's a battle that over 75 years later, we're still fighting.
And what are some of the other issues that you spend time working on from the governmental affairs side of the work Paralyzed Veterans of America does?
I mentioned briefly, just broader disability access issues. And, one of the things we want folks to know is, the Americans with Disabilities Act, which passed now over 30 years ago, that's what governs access to other modes of transportation beyond air travel, governs access to restaurants and shops and doctor's offices, the things that we all use every day. And many of us think that, well, disability access has been taken care of. The law has been in place for a long time now, and so surely people have access. And what we find is that there is still an ongoing issue where people with disabilities, including people who use wheelchairs on a daily basis, continue to encounter broken sidewalks, no ramps, no access to a lavatory, aisles in stores that are not wide enough to go down, going to a hotel and not being able to transfer into the hotel bed, even in the accessible room, because the bed is too high. And bringing this back to air travel, an ongoing pain point is the shuttles that many of us take to get from the airport to the hotel or other places once we get to our destination. Too often, those are not wheelchair accessible. And it can sometimes take almost as long to go that last few miles to get to to your hotel as it did to fly across the country. So there are still so many access barriers when it comes to travel, when it comes to access to healthcare, and we really need, organizations, companies, and governments to really make sure that they are following the requirements that are set out in the law, and that these laws are being enforced. Because if not, what happens is people with disabilities, like PVA members, you know, Charlie was talking about people having access to employment. Well, if I can't safely travel, I can't take a job that's going to require me to take travel because I can't safely do that. If I don't have the transportation I need to get to work in the morning, how am I going to get there? If I don't have somebody who maybe if I need assistance getting up in the morning and getting ready, if I don't have a caregiver who can do that, I'm not coming to the job because I literally can't get there. And we've got to remove those barriers for people with disabilities and disabled veterans so that they can truly be part of our society and communities.
I'm Ryan Gorman with Charles Brown, National President of Paralyzed Veterans of America, and Heather Ansley, Associate Executive Director of Governmental Affairs. You can learn more at pva.org. Heather, before I switch back to Charles, how can those listening right now help you in the work you're doing advocating for these specific issues?
Certainly. I would encourage everyone to go to our website, pva.org. You can join our PVA Action Force, which is our easy platform that allows folks to be able to send messages directly to their legislators in, you know, asking them to support our priorities. We also have a dedicated website on air travel, pva.org/air travel, that includes much more information about the issues that we're facing. It also includes some helpful tips for people who use wheelchairs. So if you're going to be taking that trip and you maybe haven't done it for a while because of the pandemic, or maybe this is just your first time, we have some helpful hints on our site to help people, kind of what you should know and what you should do to hopefully make your trip as safe as possible.
And Charles, let me switch back to you. Can you give us some ways that everyone listening can help support all the other things you're doing at Paralyzed Veterans of America?
One of the big things, I hate to say it, but it's every time, is the dollars that you can give us that help us run these programs. All the programs we run for our members are free. They're free of charge to our members. And that's a great way to go through it. But again, pva.org, sign up there. There are local chapters, 33 chapters across this nation that fight every day and work with our veterans on the local ground for us. Donate your time to a veteran service organization to help another veteran. Do what you can, step up and be helpful any way you can.
And what about those listening right now who are veterans or who have a veteran in their life who could perhaps utilize some of the services you provide?
First off, pva.org. And I got to tell you, if you know a veteran that needs help, don't hesitate. We're there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We will help. We will get that veteran the care we can.
And final question, as we wrap things up here, can you spend a few moments giving everyone an overall perspective on the importance of the work Paralyzed Veterans of America is doing and what it has meant to some veterans you've come across?
Well, beyond my own, going from a veteran that really didn't know what I was going to be doing after I got injured, to some of the veterans that are out there now that have gotten jobs at some of the great corporations that we work with, able leading to, like I said, a higher quality of life. They can earn the salary that will help send their kids to school. We offer a scholarship program for children. We've also worked hard with the VA to make sure that the IVF is the fertilization for those veterans that can't have children the normal way. Because we have veterans that have gone and spent their own money to have families, and we think they've earned that right, you know, just because they were injured during war or through the military service, that they should not have children. That's not right. We will work with veterans to get them the care they need, the benefits they earned, or the jobs they want. And if they need or want, we'll get them involved in sports programs. We're about getting a veteran back into an active and social life. We also are a huge, huge co-sponsor and the National Veterans Wheelchair Games. This year, we're going to be in Portland, Oregon, and that's going to be out there in July. So if you're in the Portland area, come on out. Those games move around each year. I don't know if I should let the cat out of the bag, let you know we're going to be next year. Nah, I'll leave that one up on the out there for the guests. It's going to be a great area this year, and I'm so looking forward to seeing everybody do a lot of things. So the National Veterans Wheelchair Games, if nobody knows, is a Paralympic style event. There are 22 sports offered at the National Veterans Wheelchair Games, and this increases the quality of life for the paralyzed veteran. From a veteran that actually you think couldn't participate in sports, somebody that lives in a power chair that uses a their mouth, the sip and puff in a chair to drive it around, to the athlete who looks like he can walk and do a lot of things, but he's still in a wheelchair for his activity. So it's a great opportunity to come and do things. We're proud of that sponsorship with the VA. I'm proud of the sponsorship we work with the VA. We work with them hand in hand to make sure that our veterans receive the quality of care that they've earned through their military service.
Charles Brown, National President for Paralyzed Veterans of America, and Heather Ansley, Associate Executive Director of Governmental Affairs for Paralyzed Veterans of America. You can learn more and offer your support to this great organization at pva.org. Charles, Heather, I want to thank you so much for the tremendous work you're doing with this organization. Charles, I want to thank you for your service to this country, and thanks to both of you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having us. It's been an honor to be here, and thank you for doing this for us also.
It's my pleasure. And that's going to do it for this edition of iHeartRadio Communities. I'm your host, Ryan Gorman. I want to thank you all for listening to the show, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.